We are learning the Sicha of Miketz Beis, the second Sicha of Miketz in Lekuta Sichas Chelik Yud. The Sicha is discussing a Rashi and the Pasik of Perik Mem Aleph Pasik Nun Hei. You will learn it inside. Vatirav kol eretz Mitzrayim vayitza ko'om el paroi lelechem. The Pasik tells us that the entire land of Egypt was hungry. This is when the 7 years of famine began. And then the people cried out to Paroi lelechem, for bread. Vayomer Paroi lechol Mitzrayim, lechu el Yosef. So Paroi said to all of Mitzrayim, to all the Egyptians, lechu el Yosef, asher yoimer lochem tasu. Go to Yosef and do whatever he will tell you. ופירש רשי, לאחר שמפרש תחילו, הפוסק ותירף כל ארץ מצרים, after Rashi explains, what is ותירף כל ארץ מצרים, as Rashi says, שהרכיבו תבוע סום שעוצרו, that what happened, that all the תבוע, which was gathered by מצרים, all the grain, they all rotted, except for Yosef's. So after that, Matik Sefer Dikro, so Rashi copies the last words of the Pasik, which is the four words, Asher Yoim Alochem Tasu, Umefaresh, and Rashi explains. What is the Yoim Alochem? Lefi Shehoyo Yosef Oim Alohem She Imolu. Yosef was demanding from the Egyptians, that he should become circumcised. וכשבואו אל צפרוי, and when they came to Paroi, ואומרים, ככו אימא לנו. They told Paroi, when we ask him for תבוע, for grain, he tells us we have to be circumcised. אומר להם, וכולו. So this is what Paroi responded to them by saying, okay, if this is what Yosef is asking, אשר יואים הלוחם תעשו, what he asks from you, is this is what you should do. Which means you should go through circumcision, as Rashi explains it even more, which we're going to see it a little bit later. But this is the beginning of Rashi. Question is, Aloi ba posik siv. It's written in the posik, Vayitza ko'om el paroi lelechem. That the people were crying out to Paroi for bread. Vayoyma paroi lechu el Yosef. So Paroi tell them, go to Yosef. Shehu, the idea of Paroi sending them to Yosef, even though they came to Paroi, why is he sending them to Yosef? So the Pashtus, simply, while Pia Miras Paroi le Yosef lifneze. Paroi already told Yosef previously, and this is mentioned previously in the Chumash, in Perik Mem Aleph, in a few psukim earlier, in Posik Mem, so it says that Paroi told Yosef, Val Picho Yisha Kolami. The Posik tells there, Paroi told Yosef, Ato ti al beisi, you are going to be in charge of my house. Val picho yisha kolami, that means that all my people will be fed through your command, as Rashi explains there. That the word ishak means sustaining them or feeding them. So since Yosef is in charge, so therefore it's understood why Paroi sent him to Yosef. So without an explanation of Rashi, just by learning the psukim, in the order of the psukim, we understand simply why is it that Paroi is sending them back to Yosef when they're asking for food. So the question is, why does Rashi bechlal need to explain or something if it's a simple, self-understood idea in the reading of the pasuk, that when the people are asking Paroi for bread, so Paroi is sending them back to the one who is in charge, the one who is responsible of feeding the country, which is Yosef. Why does Rashi need to explain something? Even we will accept that there is some type of need for Rashi to commit an explanation, which we're not understanding just by reading the psukim, as we mentioned. Still, Rashi already announced there is a principle there is a grand rule in how he presents his pshat, his explanation of psukim. And not only did he announce the one, but the choizer all of kamo peomim, Rashi repeats that principle many times by saying, shaloi bosi el ole pshutishim mikro, that I am here to explain only according to the simple understanding of the pasik, mit ad midrashic explanations. And if I do bring a medrash, it's only a medrash which will explain the pasik in pshute. As Rashi says, v'la'agodeh me'yashevez divrei ha'mikro dover dibur ha'loifnov, it's only a medrash which will explain the pasik accordingly. And therefore, Rashi's idea in his pirush to Torah is only to follow the pshutish mikro, the literal meaning of the pasik. So the question is, u'minalon l'Rashi bepshutish mikro, shemikoidem leze hoyu etzel Yosef, v'she Yosef omaloem sheyemoylu, v'shachakach olchu el paro. In pshutish mikro, where do we see this narrative of the people of Egypt going to Yosef? And Yosef tells them, in order to get food, you have to be circumcised. Then they go to Paroi. Yes, in the Medrash, that story Staki mentioned specifically, as the Rebbe is later metzayin to that Medrash. But still, in Pshutish Mikro, we don't find this ongoing, this give and take between Yosef and the people, and then needing them to go to Paroi. Here we find a simple pasuk, that the people are hungry and they're coming to Paro, who is ultimately in charge, and he tells them, why are you coming to me? There is a person, he is the minister in charge of food, this is Yosef. So why does Rashi need an explanation, especially an explanation which doesn't seem fits with the literal reading of the Psukim? We don't find this conversation going on between the people of Egypt and Yosef. This is question number one. Gam kosher, in addition to that, there is another question. Adrabe, miloshen akosif, sheparo yomar lohem. If you literally read the pasuk, Yaakov, Paro tells the people of Mitzrayim, go to Yosef, asher yomar lohem tasu. Asher yomar loshen osid lohem tasu. Beloy asher omar loshen ovar. Paro tells them, whatever Yosef will tell you is what you should do. The pasuk doesn't say that whatever Yosef did tell you, what he told you already, Asher Omar, which means in the past, this is what you should follow. So the words Asher Yoima Mashma indicate Shadain Loy Omar Loem Yosef Dover Binyan Zeh, that they never heard from Yosef anything in regard to this matter of the food. Rather, they came straight to Paro. Because if they were already by Yosef, as Rashi quotes, then Paro only tells them, go back to Yosef, and whatever he told you, asher yom, asher omar lochem, whichever he told you, tasu. He told you to be circumcised. So go for it. You got to go to circumcision. But the pasuk says, asher yoimar. So the pasuk itself indicates that there was no yet, seemingly there was no yet specific conversation with Yosef in regard to food. So not only is the question is, why does Rashi come up with an explanation which is seemingly unnecessary, understanding the simple reading of the Psukim, also the question is, that explanation is actually doesn't fit with the Pshutai Shel Mikro, with the little reading of the Pasuk, which says, Yoimar and not Omar, that he already said. Se'if Beitz. Rebbe brings Vehine Yesh Meforshim. There are those Meforshim, which is mainly the masculine David and this Pasik, which he explains from where does Rashi take this explanation. So he writes, Asher Arichus Leshoinoi Shel Paroi, the fact that Paroi is expanding in his language, the way he is responding to the people of Mitzrayim. So this itself, Machricho Loimar, this forces us to say, Shelifnei tse'okas ha-mitzrim el paroi, before they went crying out to paroi, hoyo lohem asu matonim Yosef. They already had a give and take with Yosef, and that's why Rashi mentions that. How does the masculine David see it in the psukim? So he explains, because im noimar, shetchilo bo ha-mitzrim betzakosem el paroi, if you would say that it really only came first to Paro, Vehu sholchem achakach liYosef, and it was Paro who he did send them to Yosef afterwards, Hoya loyloimar, then Paro should have said, Lechu el Yosef, go to Yosef. Meaning, he comes, they come to him, and he tells them, Yosef is in charge. He's in charge of the food. I appointed him to be responsible. Al picho yishak kolami. You are going to support and sustain everybody in Egypt. Vetulo, he shouldn't have said anything else. Rather, go to Yosef. Yosef is the person. The fact that Paroi is using some extra words. Asher yoimar lochem tasu. Whatever he tells you, you should do. So these extra words, which Paroi is telling to his people, says the Maskel David, led Rashi to understand that they were ready by Yosef. Asher yoimar lochem tasu, muvun shem kvar hoyu etzel Yosef. They were ready deal. Veshe'u amar lehem dovar sheloy rotzu lasos. And he actually told them something which they did not want to hear. They didn't want to practice. He told them about the breeze. Ba'zeh bo mane paroi. Asher yoimar lochem tasu. So Paroi says, I'm sorry. Not only you should go to him, but you have to follow what he said. This is how the Maskel David understands where did Rashi take that it was a give and take with Yosef before they came to Paroi. But the Rebbe asks on this insight into Rashi. It's difficult to accept this as a pshat, that's why Rashi said it. Ki, noisaf leze shegam lefi pirush ze, einu imuven minalon lerashi sheyosef omalem sheyomulu davke. In addition to the very fact, let's assume the taka they were by Yosef. And he told them, and then he asked from them something, and they didn't like, they didn't want to follow, so therefore they came to Paroi. And that fits me the extra words of the pasuk. But still, it doesn't say anywhere, and it doesn't indicate anywhere, that what Yosef told them was that they have to circumcise themselves, that they have to have a bris. That clearly is not mentioned in anywhere in the narrative of their discussion. In addition to that, Aleph, there is difficulty even more to accept that pshat, and this is what Rashi is following. Why? Because Miloshen HaKosuv Asher Yoimar, the fact that Paroi tells them Asher Yoimar, whatever he will tell you, Muchach Kanal, it's proven like we mentioned earlier, Shadain Loi Omalem Yosef Adova Shalem Lasset, that clearly Yosef never told them what to do. They might even go there, but they did not tell them what to do. Because he tells them, Paroi tells the people, Ashrema, whatever he will tell you. So there was never a report that Yosef told them something. That's for sure not, clearly not proven that there was a statement by Yosef, there was a request by Yosef. This is clearly not written in the Pasuk. Beis, Be'im ra Yosef shel Rashi, sho'yo Yosef o'em olem. Himizeh, Sheparo yoyo tzodich letzavois sheyasu kamiras Yosef. Could be another reason why Rashi knows and accepts that already they were told something by Yosef. Because Rashi could be learns it from the fact that Paroi has to letzavois, he has to order his people to listen and to follow Yosef. Why are you telling them to do it? Afshe mikvar noso noisoi al kol eretz Mitzrayim. It's already mentioned in a few psukim earlier, in Pasuk Mem Gimel. It says that Paroi told Yosef, Ani Yosef, ubiladecho lo yori mishes yado, meaning you are in charge on the entire land of Mitzrayim. You are responsible. You have everybody has to listen to you. So therefore, if Yosef was already in charge, so then why is Paroi suddenly need to tell them you should listen to what he says? It was already pre-ordered by Paroi that everybody has to listen to what Paroi says. And therefore, Rashi, I guess, proves that there was something that Yosef told them what they did not like, and that they came back to Paroi. But if that's the proof of Rashi, or your case of the besignoi shel perush lehasher yoyma lachem tasu, then Rashi would have write it only in the signoin, in the type of way the way Rashi writes when it comes to write an explanation to the word that Shebel Chem Tasu. Rashi would have said, Mikan Shoyo Yosef Oimolem. That the word of Shem Lechem Tasu, Mikan, from here, we learn out, or this proves us that Yosef told them they didn't want Vekayoitze Bazeh. Because this is the words, seemingly, the fact that Paroid has to tell him, listen to what he says, is the proof that Yosef told them something. Right? Mikan. This is what we're learning now. But the Lashon Rashi, Lefi she'oyo Yosef Oimer, from Rashi's words, that since Yosef told them that you should be circumcised, and then they came to Paroi. So from these words, Lefi, but not Mikan, indicates Muchach, she'ze she'Yosef omalem she'yomulu, eino inyan al nilmad mitevu se'ilu. This is not something that we learn out from these words, that the word that she'yoyma lochem proves that this is the source for the explanation that Yosef told them something. Elo rather, dovora yodua kvar, it was known somehow earlier that this is what Yosef told them, and it's not from the words asher yeba lechem tasu, rather we know it from before. Move on, kametera gdome, Rashi only brings it as an introduction, shall pio yuvon, in other words, the word Hashem Lechem Tasu could be learned that Paroi is telling them, listen to what he tells you about the breeze, right? Paroi is the one who tells it to them. And how do we know that Yosef told it to him? Because it says, Hashem Lechem Tasu, why does Paroi have to tell him? Seemingly, they should have already listened to Yosef from the get-go. But the Rebbe says, the way Rashi writes it is clearly not this idea that Yosef asked him to have a breeze is clearly not from the word Ashiyem Alchem Tasu, but rather this is a given that Yosef asked him to do a breeze. And Ashiyem Alchem Tasu is only a respond if this is what he wants, so this is obviously what you need to do in order to be fed. So Meile goes back the question, from where does Rashi and why does Rashi bring this idea that Yosef was asking them for having a bris. Before we continue, let's see your order 6. In order 6, after the Rebbe explained that the idea of having a bris is not derived from the word Hashem Alechem Tasu, but rather it was a given somehow, as he is going to explain later, it al pisa, he says the Rebbe, we will understand also how Rashi doesn't go with the Impshut Hashem Mikro, with what other commentaries are finding, where is the idea of bris mentioned and alluded in this pasuk. So let's see it inside. Al pi ze muvin shei efshar lefaresh hachochos shel Rashi she'omar lehem sheyomulu im loshon yoimar shematzinu loshon amira al mila. We also cannot say, and we cannot explain, that Rashi accepts that how do we know that there was a breeze that Yosef was asking from them, because it says, Paro uses the word Yoimar. And the word Yoimar is Motzinu regarding Al-Milek, Mishekosu, which says in Tehillim, Soso Noichi Alim Rosecho, and David HaMelech was happy with the mitzvah of Mila, which he calls Im Rosecho, which is similar to the word Yoimar. And we know that this pasuk im rosecho refers to bris mila. So the Rebbe brings that the sifse chachamim in the matnas kehuna of apirush on the medresh, which they want to learn that in the words kol asher yoyim alochem is the remez, is which it alludes to the fact that Paroi was telling them you should follow Yosef's request for bris. But in Rashi that cannot be the reason. That cannot be the source. Why? So the Rebbe Nosef Hazeh Shebepshuto Shel Mikro Ein Shum Remez Sheamiro Koy Al Amila. In Pshuto Shel Mikro, in the little reading of the pasuk, we never find that the word Amira necessarily still with bris. Yes, does Beforshim bring a beautiful connection between the pasuk which is relating to Mila, Tosanoich Alim Rosecho. But this is not in Pshutik Shel Mikro, in the simple reading of the Pasik. Ve'im lozeo isok avodos ish Rashi. If Rashi meant to learn that from the word, asher yoimar, similar to the Im Rosecho Bamile, Aber lefare shenimad begzeiro shove mishom. Then Rashi should have said that this is actually learned out from begzeiro shove from the word imrosecho bamila un yoimar here in our pasik. But Rashi doesn't say it because in Plutish Mikra the word amire doesn't necessarily apply to bris. Plus, in addition to that, miloshin Rashi lefi shehoyo Yosef oimar lohem sheyom mulu. Rashi says hoyo Yosef. Hoyo Yosef means that he used to say it. It was an ongoing request by Yosef that they should go to circumcision. Muchach she'enoy nilmad meteivos asher yoimar be'osid lochem tasu. This itself indicates that this is not what Paro is telling them, whatever he's going to tell you, which is the yoimar, in the future. But rather, the breeze was something which was always required previously by Yosef, and mimele it's not from the words asher yoimar lochem tasu, which teaches us that here, specifically, Paro was responding to them by telling them you should listen to him, to Yosef's request for bris. Rashi does say that that was what Paro was responding, but it's not in the words, Asher Yoim Alochem Tasu. Umizem moving is also understood, Sheyefshar Lefarei, Sheyinvad Milochem Yesero, Kevematnas Kehuna. The Matas Kuna of the Medrash, he learns that the idea of bris, how do we know that Paro was referring them to Yosef's request for a bris? Because it said Hashem Lochem Tasu. The word Lochem is seemingly extra, unnecessary. It should have said Asher Yoimar, whatever he says, Tasu. So he learns Lochem means to you, which Lochem indicates a concept of bris. Oy midrsif Tasu, Shal Derech Asal Nefesh Asher Osu, again, make yourself, who's making is like a nefesh asher osu, which is an idea of transforming through a bris. But all this is clearly not in Rashi, because by the very fact that Rashi says, Rashi doesn't indicate it, Rashi doesn't say it, but mainly because Rashi says that sheyoymar, in the word yoymar, indicates of something in the future. So this is the order 6, which we go back, that clearly it's not in the words Asher Yoim Alochem, and the question is, from where does Rashi take it that there was already a discussion of Yosef with them regarding a bris, and that's what Paro is telling them to follow. Continuing Siv Gimel. Le'alon, Bahemshech, Pirish Rashi Zeh, in the continuation of this chat of Rashi, which we started in the beginning of the Sikha, Oimer. So Rashi says, Ukashebo el Tzeparoi, and the people of Mitzrayim came to Paroi. And they say, Kachu Oimer Lonu, that this is what Yosef is telling us. Omalohem, he's telling us to have a bris in order to provide for us food. He wants us to be circumcised. Omalohem, so Paroi tells them, Belom aloi tzavartem bor, why didn't you gather any grain? Valoi ichriz lochem, sheshnei arov boim, he announced that there's going to come up the years of famine. So why didn't you gather? Why are you coming not to complain? So they, the Egyptians, responded to Paro, Osafnu arbe. Matter of fact, we actually did gather a lot of grain, but what happened was, v'ir kiva, all the grain became rotted. They all spoiled. Omaloem, so then is when Paro responded to them, im kain, if so it happened that the grain rotted, that all what you had stored had rotted, in that case, kol asher yeh b'lachem tasu. Therefore, you should do whatever he will tell you. Arei gozar al ha'tvua v'hirkivo. He already, this Yosef already issued a decree upon the grain, and it rotted. Mai migzor aleinu. What will happen in Migzor Aleinu v'Namus? What will happen? He might now issue a decree upon us and we will die. So Rashi says that this was a conversation between the Egyptians with Yosef. This is what he quotes from the Hemshech from the Medrash. So the Rebbe says, and this quote of Rashi, v'gam b'zeh koshel ovin, is going to ask a number of questions. Aleph, the first question is like the question mentioned earlier. Minale lo yichiach mimashmos hakosu lepshutei Eskol Divra Shaklevitai Shebim Pariva Mitzri. Where do we see in the simple reading of the Pasik about this conversation which is taking place between Paro and Mitzri? Sharein Kosov Bakro Elo Vayitzak Omel Paro. The only thing which it says in the Pasik is Vayitzak Omel Paro Lelechem, that the people were crying out to Paro to bread. So where in Pasik do we see that there was a request for a discussion about bris, in a conversation going on, that things were writing? This old beautiful story and insight that Rashi brings to the Medrash, we seemingly don't see in the actual psukim. They only requested lechem, that's what they asked for. Question number two, beis, la'achei she'omru ha-mitzrim, kefi pirush Rashi. According to Rashi Pshat, the day said, osafnu arbe tvue v'irkivo, they said, we gathered a lot of grain, but it rotted. V'alzei ishiv lo'em paroi, im kein, aynu mikivun she'en lo'em ma'ile echoil, since so that you don't have what to eat, are ein lifneim breira acheres. You don't have any other choice, el kol asher yo'im alochem tasu. Therefore, whatever paroi tells you, you have to do, but I'm sorry, whatever Yosef tells you, you should do. If that's the story, then, ma choser ba'avona pshute shel mikro, shelochein moisif, are gozar, chulu. Ma'e migzor aleinu venomus. Why is it necessary for Rashi to bring that? Paroi told them, we are dealing over here with supernatural powers. Here he made a decree against the grain, and it all rotted. And soon he's going to make a decree against the people, we're all going to die. What is this threat or this warning that somehow Paro has to relate to his people? Why to convince them to listen to Yosef? They have to listen to Yosef simply because there is no grain. Yosef is the only one who has. And therefore, you have a choice. Either you accept his condition, which is circumcision, or you're not going to have what to eat. What is Negea? Why is it important that Paro is kind of indicating and Paro is kind of leading them to a whole discussion about this figure of Yosef, that since he made decrees, and therefore you could be concerned that he's going to make a decree against us. Why does he need to convince them in that particular manner? It's simply, you have no food, that's our choice now, to have a breeze and get our food. Gimel, Rashi Moisif Aloshon HaKosif, Kol Asher Yoimar. In the Pasik it says, Asher Yoimar, whichever Yosef tells you. Rashi has the word Kol, that means everything that Yosef tells you. Meaning now, in the future, this is the man you got to listen to. What is that important here in the discussion of asking for bread, that he should warn them and encourage them to make sure to obey everything Yosef tells them? Dalet, fourth question. The way Rashi quotes it is that Paro is saying that if he decreed against the grain, soon he might decree igzor aleinu. The word aleinu and us, koilel atzmei gamkein, includes himself in this decree. Of this concern that Yosef might decree against him that he will die. Paro is in charge on Yosef. So why is Paro including himself in this issue? Paro wasn't having a problem with food. So why is Paro saying that, you know, he tells his people, it's not just about you, it's about us. I'm going to be a part of it. What is he trying to indicate him? What is he trying to convince them to listen to Yosef because he's a part in why would Paro be included in this decree? Hey, Misa, Manda Hashmei, who spoke about that? Why suddenly Yosef coming with a seeming like a threat, like a warning? You gotta listen, because if not, he decreed against the grain and it all rotted, and the next thing the decree will be against us and we're all gonna die. Where is there an indication? Where is there a warning? Where is there a word, a concern, something to tell us that Yosef will cause them to die? Why is Paro talking about death? Where was there a mentioning? Where was there a threat of death that Yosef is going to bring them, cause them to die? They might die because there is no food, and if you don't eat, you're going to die. But for that, the response is, do to what Yosef asks, and you're going to have what to eat. Why is the word Misa mentioned here? As if there's going to be a psanu decree by Yosef. And the Rebbe concludes that Ein emes shepirush azeh bechlolusei pirush Rashi shalveinu bekoyre b'medrash. True, that whatever Rashi brought here is clearly written in the Medrash, in Bereshis Rabbe, in Tanchume. But again, the question what Rebbe's mehalach, but ala yedua klal shekol Rashi bepirushoi, shemevi droshas chazal, Rashi brings a Medrash rak bi muchrach ule yashev divra mikro aloifanov, if we have to respond or resolve a difficult pasik, and that difficulty is seemingly not found in this pasik, that Rashi needs to explain it. So this is the questions, which is very clear, important questions to understand where and how did Rashi take this whole discussion between Yosef and between Paro and the Egyptians. Before we continue, let's see a few of the orders. Order 6, 6 star. Inside is what the Rashi mentioned, that Paro told his people, since Yosef made a decree against the grain, and had read it, his decree might work against us, we're going to die. So Paro is clearly telling them that the reason of the fact that the grain rotted has to do with a decree given by Yosef. Yosef somehow supernaturally provoked a decree axere against the grain. So the Rebbe said in Ora 6, maybe there was other reasons why the two were rotted. Let's see inside. Ve'i efshar lefarish she'atam lo meir kivo tvuosom lefi shelo inotnu boi mi'afar amokoim v'chulu, which is huvo v'maske ledovit kan mashe'enken Yosef, could be that the reason is that it is famous, and Rashi brings it later, that you can use a preservative to preserve the grain is when you put in some of the soil of the local place where the grain is growing. So could be, maybe, that the rotting had nothing to do with a decree of Yosef. Pashat, simply, they did not put in that preservative, and therefore, it rotted. Yosef did. How does Paro take from the fact that it was rotting that there must be a decree of Yosef, a gzere? So the Rebbe says that this cannot be accepted as an explanation. Why? Because kikivu she Yosef ichriz sheshnei arov boim, the fact that Yosef announced it's going to be years of famine, and it's necessary to gather grain, so surely also explained in the announced that it's not enough to collect grain, but you have to preserve it. So I'm sure the Rebbe says that he gave them the idea, which is to use some of the soil of the mokim. So they did put it, and still it did not work. Void ve'iker. In addition, even if Yosef wouldn't announce it, Shmiras atvuah mirikovoin alidei afar amokoim arei ze inyan tivi, to preserve grain from rotting by the soil of the locale is a natural thing, as Rashi brings later in Pasik Memches, im kein bevadai she'oyo ze yodua lemitzrayim, so the Mitzrim also knew about it, so therefore we cannot accept that Paro would assume that the reason for rottening of the grain was a natural cause, lacking that preservative. Gam ef shaloimar sheze shevatir av kol eretz Mitzrayim ulefi shekol sokol atvu sheotzu. We also cannot explain that the famine was because it simply finished. Ubifrat shetechzak arov beretz Mitzrayim, especially that there was such a strong famine. So the Rebbe says that also cannot be accepted as an explanation, as a natural reason, a cause for the end of grain. Ki ein klal mokim leimar she'atvu she'otzu avu sheva shonim kol sa b'shono aleph. It's impossible to say, and there's no reason to say, that when you gather grain for 7 years, it's going to end in the first year. And the fact that they had to give a part of it to Paro, he brings in the bottom footnote, that only happened later, and this has nothing to do with the rottening of the grain. So clearly it was a concern that Paro expressed about a gzeira, a decree that it was imposed on the grain by Yosef. And that's what the concern is. In order 7, after he explained in the Pnim, inside the Sicha, that Paroi should have, the simple response by Paroi is that you have no choice, and therefore you have to listen to Yosef, right? And why does he have to go, why does Rashi have to go in with this whole decree issue, that there was a decree against the grain and a decree against our life? So the Rebbe adds to it even further. Ve'oid. Miloshen Rashi. The way Rashi is written, Im kein kol ha-shoyem alochem tasu, you should do whatever he told you, because arei gozer ala tuvi v'rkivo. So Rashi says, because he already made a decree and had read it. So this loshen muchach, sha'atam lekol ha-shoyem alochem tasu, what is the reason that you should listen to Yosef? Lefi she'gozer ala tuvi v'rkivo. Is because you see that he had made a decree against the grain, and that the grain, they all had ratted. Ve'einoy muvun, sh'arei atam shemuchrochim la'aset ma'asho amalim Yosef, ulefi she'ein lo'im ma'le'echoil. That's not the reason because he made a decree. The reason that they have to listen to Yosef's demand for bread is because simply they have nothing to eat. They have nothing to eat, and nothing to do with the reason why the why there is no grain, and why the grain rotted. Gam im atvua oisen keves mitatzibo acheres. Let's say that the grain was rotting because of another reason, a natural disaster. Lo imitzal gzeras Yosef, not because Yosef made a decree against it. Then would also they would have to listen to Yosef because they need food. Oy gam beim loitzav rubor. Or let's say they wouldn't have gathered grain, and therefore there was no food, and they have to listen to Yosef. So that's why they have to listen to Yosef. Ma yikavon az Rashi, sha'atam lekol ha-shayem alachem tasu, hu ari gozar ala tvuo v'irkivo. Why does Rashi go on by explaining that the reason they have to listen is because there was a decree of Yosef. Yosef made a decree against the grain, and therefore you have to listen to him. Why does the problem have to be the decree? Why can't it be Pashet? There is no food, and in order to get food, you have to obey Yosef's requests. Seif Dalet. The Rebbe continues with a few more questions. Oy tzorich lehovin. This is till now was questions in the general approach. The Beir Rashi understands the psukim, and the Beir Rashi explains psukim. So the whole idea of the give and take between Yosef and the people of Mitzrayim and the bris is not mentioned in the psukim, and it's unnecessary to bring us, etc., etc. But here comes the Rebbe with another question, which is more like in the toichen, the gufei shel dover, or perhaps from an halachic perspective too. What is the question? I mean, boy tzolich lov, betoichen ve'inyan perish Rashi v'melosh. Let's get into the toichen of the pirush. Question number 1, aleph. Ma oyo tamoy shel Yosef bedroshosoy mi'amitzrim sheyomul. What was the reason why would Yosef ask them to have a bris? Ubifrat eper retzoinam. Especially if it was against their will. Eize toyeles tagia mize. Which benefit would Yosef gain by having a bris? A simple question. What is he trying to get? Yes, they need food. You have not the opportunity to express your conditions, and perhaps even you control. If they don't want it, and they're not interested in the breeze, what would you gain? In order 9, the Rebbe brings from the Maharal. The Maharal takes the question a little different. Begurad yekan, the Maharal asks, "Baloi ein machrichim leisgayer." In other words, the Maharal understood that somehow that for them to, that Yosef's request for circumcision was a request for Giyur. Giyur requires Milah. Milah is one of the conditions for conversion. So the Maral asks, Ein machichim sagoy leisgayer. You can't force a goy to convert. You can't force a goy to convert. Yosef would force Mitzrayim to have a Milah, a breeze of conversion. It doesn't make any sense. And the Maral goes on with another Mehalach explaining what Yosef saw, why the only reason they're going to be able to be fed by him is by the bris. And he goes in with his own Mehalach. But here, the question of the Maral is similar to what the Rebbe is asking. What do you gain from it? What do you want? If it's conversion, then there is no purpose. As he continues in the order, Vini Yeshleimer, Asher Abshut Eshe Mikro, Loyoyo Inyena Geirus Koide Matntere. As the Rebbe explains, the Chelik Hei, the concept of conversion really did not have before Matan Torah. There's no halachic idea of conversion in Pshutish and Mikro, at least, as they explained in Ariches and Chelik Hei. Ba'al pizeh tugdal akushi elomot tzivo loim lomul. There's not even conversion. You're not gaining anything. The Maral comes from a point that it's conversion, but it's conversion by force. Here, there's no conversion altogether. Rashi doesn't follow the concept of conversion before Matan Torah. So in the times of Yosef in Mitzrayim, there was no idea of conversion. So the question is, why and what are you gaining from it? In footnote 10, the Rebbe does reference to a number of commentaries. Kli Yochor, Yafei Toyar, Eitz Yosef, they all say, in their own way, beautiful insights. What is the connection between bris and being fed? Yosef wanted to make sure that they don't mock the Jews who are circumcised. Yosef wanted to make sure that in the future the Jews are coming to Mitzrayim, so they shouldn't be assimilating completely, having to give up bris milah because wanting to assimilate. This is all beautiful insights that you can look it up, but it's al derech haremez, al derech hadrush. Aval kulam eino medelech hapshat. Ve'ein shum remez afilu bepirush Rashi. In Rashi, there's no hint to these reasons which is mentioned above. And therefore, the question is, according to Rashi, what is it and what is the reason for bris milah? Why did Yosef ask him to go through a bris? The question becomes even further based ala posik and the posik in Parshas Noach, where it says, ve'ach es dimchem. Lenav shoyseichem edroish, that the Rebishter is telling that Noach, that you're not allowed, this is the prohibition against spilling any blood. Pirush Rashi, shedimchem aynu, ashoyfech damatzmoi, that a person, any person, even a Noachide, is forbidden from spilling his own blood. Zaysay meresh al piderech hapshat osro toiro lishpoich dam atzmoi. The simple understanding of the pasuk, Torah prohibits to spill your own blood af shelo yovoy al yedei zeh lechoyli oy lemisa. Usually we understand the pasuk, it means that a person is forbidden, it's prohibition against suicide, even losing your life. But from the simple reading of the pasuk, is the very fact that you cut yourself and you give yourself a reason, a cost for spilling blood, is prohibited by this pasuk. Even if you're not, but any type of spilling. Uka isur shel domei lo itochelu shepasuk hakoidem. Shekemefuresh berashi dam min achai. Just like the pasuk previously in Parshas Noach talks about not eating blood, and it talks about blood from a living creature. So two, you're not allowed to allow yourself to cause yourself any spilling of blood. Any spilling of blood. So before we explain the sagraim, so the Rebbe's question is, as he says in the end, how was Yosef allowed to tell Egypt to go have a circumcision, which obviously the act of a bris is an act of shfichas dam. And how was that allowed? In other words, the question is not only like the first question, what is the purpose? It's also an halachic question. What was the allowance to ask them? What was the heter to ask them for Shfichas Dam? In this agraim over here, the Rebbe explains something which he discusses in Lent in Chelik Helakut Asichas. But he mentions that or here too, fitting to this question about Yosef. What does it explain in Chelik A? That this idea that a Benoyach, a Noachide, is forbidden to cause any spilling of blood, explains also another discussion which is brought down in many Sforim regarding Avram Avinu. Let's read it inside. Weil pise moven be pashtus inyen shakle vetaye be rabim lomo loy mol avrob avinu es atsmo ikedim shen mitstavo af shigam oski em kol ater kul at shlo init de mishne said in end of kidushin that avrob avinu kept the entire torah before he was even given. So the question is, which many commentaries are discussing, why didn't Avram perform circumcision on himself prior to Hashem telling him to have a bris? And there's all kinds of reasons, which some of those reasons is being brought also in the Tziche in Chelik Hei. But the Rebbe brings an answer which he calls Bepashtus, which is the simple explanation why Avram didn't do it. And he says as follows, Kihu lefi shenitztavo loy lishpoich domoy. Avram was already commanded in Pashas Noach, like every Noachite, not to cause any spill of blood. Upashut she'ein mokoim ve'ein zehidur lekayim mitzvah she'loi nitno kishenitztave she'loi la'aso yisoy. Ma she'enken kishenitztavo ala mila arei tzivu imefure ze doiche umevatl benidn ze oi isu she'shfichas domi. The idea is as follows. For Avram to keep Torah mitzvahs before it was given, he wasn't commanded to do it. This is what we call the Hidur. It's an enhancement of going so-called out of the way and to do even that which I am not commanded. But this can only work as a Hidur, as an enhancement in serving Hashem, as long as it doesn't go against something you were told not to do. So when Avram was told not to spill blood, and he goes now and he decides to make a bris, he will go trying to perform a hidur, an extraordinary mitzvah, against something which he was told clearly not to do. So therefore, Avram cannot do it when it clashes with his prohibition not to spill blood. He could have never done a bris. When Hashem tells him to do a bris, so that order obviously comes and overrides the prohibition of shfichas damim, of spilling blood, and therefore it would be allowed to do it. And that's what he was waiting. I mean, the Rebbe explains other concepts in Torah, like why Yaakov married two sisters, all following with the same idea that keeping Torah mitzvah before it was given is a hidur, is an enhancement, and as long as the moment it clashes with what you are already commanded, therefore, that hidur, that enhancement, has to be put aside. But clearly, going back to our discussion, there is a prohibition of spilling blood. Ebazei, he continues in the question, lefi zeinu imuvin, eich hoyo Yosef oimalem la mitzrim sheyomulu, how did Yosef tell Mitzrayim to have circumcision? Valoidova zeu isu sheshfichas domim. It involves the prohibition of shfichas domim, of spilling blood, sheheim kechol bnei noyach muzorim olov, that Avram and all bnei noyach, just like all bnei noyach are warned against spilling blood, Avram is included in that prohibition. So then the question is, why and how would he do it? So the question is on Yosef now. I'm sorry, the question is on Yosef. How does Yosef tell Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim are like the rest of the Bnei Noach, so how does Yosef tell Mitzrayim to go and have a bris at the same time, and they are like all the other Bnei Noach, which are warned not to have any spilling of blood? What is the heter? What is the allowance for Yosef to ask people in Mitzrayim to have a bris? There is a horror of year 15 that we're going to discuss a little later. So this is clearly the questions on that Rashi. So the Rebbe comes in and says, Hey, and first the responses to that last questions, what was the purpose of the bris, and what was the allowance, the heter, so to speak, for Yosef to asking them to have a bris. The Rebbe comes to Seif Hey, and he explains it. A beautiful thing. Al Pasik Atoti Al Beisi. When the Pasik says in our parasha in Pasik Mem, the Paroi tells Yosef, Atoti Al Beisi, you are going to be in charge of my house, Val Picho Yishak Kol Ami. So the Pasik says that you are in charge, Val Picho Yishak Kol Ami, and all the people will be Yishak through your command. What is Yishak? Pirush Rashi, Yishak means Izan. The word Yishak means they will be sustained. What does Idzan mean? Isparnes. You will provide them with parnasim, with food. Kol tzorche ami iyu nasim al yotcho. All the needs of my people, you, Yosef, you are going to be responsible for them. This is the word Yishak kol ami. Clearly. The deposit clearly means to tell you that Paroi tells Yosef that you are responsible, that everything which belongs to my people, you're going to feed them, you're going to be in charge of their sustenance. Hainu, shall Yosef utal lefarnes es kol tzorche ha-mitzrim b'mozen v'chulu. Yosef was given the responsibility of all that the mitzrim needs regarding to food. Ve'yosef kibel ze al atzmoy lemalei tafkid ze. Yosef not only was told to do it, he actually accepted that position. Shehoyo yodua umefursam lekol ha-mitzrim. It was known to all the Egyptians that Yosef is responsible for food. Kemoy shemotinu b'psokim shel achreize. As we find later in Pasik Mem Vav and in Pasik Mem Tes, it says clearly, vayetze Yosef, that Yosef came out of Paroi, vayavoyel bechol eretz Mitzrayim, and he went out. He left Paroi's presence and he visited the entire country of Egypt. Va'itzbor Yosef bor kechoil hayom harbe meoid. And Yosef gathered grain in large amounts, like the sand of the sea. Okay? So Yosef was known as being responsible. He's visiting Mitzrayim, he's gathering the grain, and he accepted the position given to him by Paroi. Bine, al pize, kasher vatiraf kol eretz Mitzrayim, vayitzak ha'om el Paroi lelechem, eino imuvun klal, lo matzoku ha-mitzrim el Paroi lelechem. Let's go back to the beginning of Pasuk. The Pasuk says there was a famine, and the people came to Paroi. Why are you going to Paroi? Yosef is in charge. All their needs is provided by Yosef. So why are they going to Paroi? So by reading the Pasuk, by Yitzhak Omel Paroi, you wonder something doesn't add up. Something is not right. Something doesn't add up. The people are going to Paroi in a time when everybody knows that Yosef is the balabas and he's in charge. Why is it that they're going to Paroi? So the fact that it says that going to Paroi already tells you that it's not so poshut. Meaning there is something behind the story which is not mentioned. What is it? Al kochoch shekitzer hakosu b'davar poshut. The pasuk doesn't tell you the details, but it was obviously known, and this is as we accept the story, knowing the background over here, that Yosef is in charge. So it's clearly shebevadoi mitchilu bo etzel Yosef lebakesh mozoin ki hu ha-shalit bekol eretz Mitzrayim. So clearly they did go to Yosef, because Yosef is in charge, so they must have gone to Yosef first. Ve'rak le'achrei sheloi milei bakesh osom, but after Yosef did not provide them what they needed, he didn't give them food, then bo'u litzek el Paroi. So the pasuk doesn't tell it to us, because it's self-understood from who we are, how we know how the relationship of Mitzrayim was with Yosef. So the Pasuk doesn't have to tell it to us, as the Rebbe brings in Or 18, many times the Pasuk shortens the story, assuming and relating that this is going to be self-understood from the narrative of the story. So for sure, they went to Yosef. Yosef, they're coming to Paroi because Yosef didn't listen to them. But then comes the question, why takenat? Umashe Yosef loy milea bakosha. Why didn't Yosef fulfill their request? Areseu tafkidoi. Wasn't he given the job by Paroi to provide with them food? Al korchoch tzorich loymar. She Yosef bikesh miem dover ma. That Yosef asked from them something. Al derech shemotzinu shekonu bekesef. Just like the purchase with money. So here too he's asking them something. Sheim lo yiskimu la'asoyso. Meaning, you have to pay for what you get. So either you pay money. Now he asked them something to pay, which they couldn't afford, or they didn't want to afford. And what is that? Like Rashi said, it was the bris. So at that point, lokein olchu litzoik el paroi malkom. So they went calling out to Paroi the king. Yosef doesn't do what he is responsible to do. And what is it, that concept? What was it that Yosef asked? Movement is going to be understood that Yosef was actually asking them to what? To have a bris. This is what Yosef is going to ask for him. So in other words, the way the Rebbe learns in Menasei Sunu why and how it's all answering the questions and how this is as relates to Bris Tafke and why was Paroi afraid. But clearly, Rashi understands that Yosef was in charge and Yosef had to provide him with food, and the fact that they don't have food is something that Yosef over here was requesting from them, something which they had no choice but rather to go back to Paroi. And the fact that they went to Yosef first doesn't have to be mentioned in the pasuk, and it's self understood because this is the Seder, this is the order, since Yosef is in the charge, so therefore they will go to Yosef first, but Yosef didn't respond with what they wanted unless they would have a bris, and therefore they came to Paroi, and Paroi tells them, you have to listen. So we will see the biur in the next Seif, Seif Vav. Continue now, Seif Vav. After saying that the question, why was Yosef convincing or even allowed to convince Mitzrayim to have a bris? The Rebbe ubiro inya. Keshetziva Hakadosh Baruch Hu laAvram lomu lesatzmoyu ubnei beisoy. When Hakadosh Baruch Hu told Avram that he and his, the people of his household, should have a bris mila, the first time he was told about the mitzvah of bris, Omar loy bepashas lech lecho. So it's written in Pashas lech lecho, there in the pasuk in Perek Yud Zayin, pasuk Yud Gimel. Says the pasuk, Himoil Yimoil Yelid Beischo Miknas Kaspecho. Boisobrisi Bipsachem Lipisoilam. So clearly, what the pasuk says is that Hashem told Avram that those who are born in his house and those who are purchased with his money should all be circumcised. Shibepashtus, Atamal Tzivu Izehu. Why is there that anyone who is born in his house or purchased with money should be circumcised? The reason is because Yelid Beisoy, your Miknas Kaspoy, Birshu Soyem, Vetfeilim Loy. They are in his authority, they are in his domain. Vetfeilim Loy, then they are secondary to him, they belong to him. Velochem Mutalolavachiyuv, Shehimoil, Yimoil, Kolechod Mein. Therefore, he has the obligation that he has to be responsible that they should have a bris. So we see clearly that the mitzvah of bris was given to whoever is in charge and responsible for certain people. By Avram, it was Yelid Beisoy, those who were born in his house and those who were purchased with money. Going back to Yosef, Al Pizeh, Kivin She Yosef Hu Hashalit Al Oretz, as the Pasuk calls him, he was the ruler over the land of Mitzrayim. Again, this is all quotes from Psukim, that he was given the responsibility, the authority on the entire land of Egypt. Or as the Pasuk says, "Ubilodoi lo yori mishas yodev izragla becholeres Mitzrayim," that no one was able to lift his hand or his leg, as the explanation is, "Ainu shoyr nesunim tachashiltoinoi," they were all given to be under his control, "Ubitshusoi," under his authority, under his responsibility, "Kemiknas kesef," like those who are purchased with money, and it become yours. So too, all the people in Mitzrayim were naturally belonging to Yosef. As the Rebbe brings in Ora 23, there is also in Halachim we find such a concept that the Anshe Medina, the inhabitants of a country, Gufam, even their actual body is Konui LaMelech LeDas Kam Rishonim. Some Rishonim learned that it's not only the belongings of the people are acquired by the king, but their actual body belongs to them. And this was the relationship from every person in Mitzrayim to Yosef. Him came. So if Yosef was responsible, and they all belong to him, Asvoren leisene leplutish in mikro, sheyesh olof chiyuv leishtadl sheiyunim moilim. That Yosef actually had a responsibility and an obligation to do whatever he can, whatever is possible for him, to make sure that they actually have a bris. Just like Avram was told that anyone who belongs to you has to be circumcised. So Yosef was under requirement to ensure that every mitzri is actually going to a circumcision. So it wasn't a necessary demand, and it wasn't something which could be involved with the bloodshed unnecessary. Because just like by Avram, the moment you are part of Avram's family, Avram was told to have a bris, and everyone who he owns has to have a bris. So then it doesn't involve the prohibition of spilling blood. So same thing is by Mitzrayim, all the inhabitants of Mitzrayim in regard to Yosef. So since that was his responsibility, that Yosef actually was telling them, meaning it was an ongoing demand by Yosef. Which Yosef said, which means he said it one time, made up an announcement. No. Oimer means Oimer bitmidus. Not once did he tell him to get circumcised. He would have demanded always. Whenever he met Mitzrayim, he always demanded, because that was his responsibility, that they have to go to a bris. That's his achrayas. Kamuvin, it's understood that this demand was beyeser se'eis, was with greater force, so-called with a greater shturem, when the famine began, and they came to him, and they have to recognize him now that he's the boss. So obviously Yosef took the opportunity to request and demand further, which he had always requested, being that this is his job, that they should have a bris. But in a time of hunger, as he brings in Lora 26, from Eoif, she'os, kol asher li'ish itema nafshe, a person would give everything away just to sustain himself, to be kept alive. So obviously then, he found it a good opportunity to continue and to kind of forcefully bring upon his responsibility and his request from them to have a bris. Because this is what he always did. Since Yosef is obligated, so this forces us to say, when the famine became even stronger, and they all had to refer to Yosef, then Yosef was obligated to make sure that he doesn't just sell it for money, the food, rather to keep the condition, if you want to really have food, you better have a bris. Because Yosef, again, as the Rebbe learns, Yosef was responsible for the milah of the entire Mitzrayim. This was Miknas Kaspoi. This is what belonged to him. So together with his position as Mishnah and Melech and in charge, he now got the requirement to make sure that they all do a Torah Bris. So Yosef kept on demanding it. And now that it came an opportunity before him to so-called enforce that requirement, so for sure he wouldn't allow it to let it go and say, okay, you want food, for money I would sell you. No, here is where you're standing strong. And Yosef says, Rabbi Yisai, if you want money, if you want food, the bris is the only thing which is going to make it happen. And from that, we're going to see how the discussion came now between them and Paroi, which will bring us back to the all the questions that we learned earlier. But before we go there, there is two others, 15 and 24, where the Rebbe explains also regarding bris, something else in a similar situation of a bris, what happened with Yosef's brothers and the people of Shechem. So earlier he mentioned that he actually not allowed, a benoyach is not allowed to spill any blood. And he asked a question, therefore, how did Yosef ask them to go to circumcision? So the Rebbe says in Orah 15, the same question can be also by the people of Shechem. Ein la'akshot him ilasan she'shechem. Eicho yubna Yaakov rashoim lo'im aloem. Im olechoem kol zochor. How was Yaakov's sons allowed to tell them to have a breeze? So since you're not allowed to spill any blood, and the people of Shechem themselves, how they did the bris, so he says in the footnote, it's not such a big shaila. They did all kinds of avedas, so they did that too. They didn't care, they didn't follow. Oh, but Bnei Yaakov, Yaakov's children, they are following orders. They are following the Rebishter's ruts and the Rebishter's mitzvahs. How were they allowed to ask them to have a bris if it involves spilling of blood? The Rebbe explained, that's not a question. Why? They didn't really want the bris. They wanted to get weak by the bris, which will lead them to be able to kill them all. Which there was actually, Yaakov was in the opinion, Yaakov's sons were in their opinion, that they are actually required, they are liable with the death penalty because what they did with Dino, as the Rebbe explains by Arichus in Chelike, also in Asicha. So that wasn't the issue that they have to die. They used the bris as a trick in getting them to become weak and getting them making the job easier to kill them. And therefore, there's no question why they were compromising this prohibition of spilling blood. But the Rebbe adds to that, I'm not moving. That's all answers why the people of the Yaakov sons did it. But it doesn't explain us, Anshi Shechem, or you tzrichim lohovin sheyesh dvorim begoy. The people of Shechem should have understand, ma shebnei Yaakov matzilu im lasu is dovo shebenoyach muzorim alof. That Yaakov's sons are offering them something which a benoyach is not allowed to do. So that itself should have raised the suspicion and say, come on, what's going on over here? This doesn't fit with the rule that we don't spill blood. So this is a question, which here in this order, the Rebbe remains with a question. But later in Order 24, he actually explains that question based on what he explained later, how Yosef was required to circumcise Mitzrayim, just like Avram in his people. So too, it will explain us now why they were not suspicious, the people of Shechem. So he says in Orah 24, V'atam she'anshe Shechem lo yichoshdu kesheshobu shebni Yaakov omar lehem sheyemoylu es atzvom. Why weren't they suspicious? Mefureshu sham. The Pasuk says that Bnei Yaakov told them, V'inu le'am echod. We're going to become one people. So clearly they understood that the bris is not just a bris. It's a bris in order to join the family of Yaakov, to become one people with them. And that's the case. So they also knew that if you belong to Yaakov and to his family, then Yaakov's family is going to require you to go through a bris. It's their responsibility, matter of fact, to make you have a bris, to join the family. V'gam anshei Shechem, idgishu ezeh, they used also liyos amecho, that's how they convinced their people to go to the bris, to become a people. People of Shechem knew, and it was public information. Asher ha-roitzeli ikonis ve-mishpacha subeis Avraham, Yitzchak ve-Yakev, utzach lomu le-sashpil, you have to go to circumcision. And now that we understand that when you belong to Yaakov's family or to Avram's family, you have to go through a bris, it answers the question that we asked before in Orah 15, how come they weren't suspicious? Because they knew that even if it's joining the family, it's requirement. And therefore, it wasn't Moirer, it wasn't bringing up any chshad by them. So now we're going back to what we explained, that the reason why Yosef was having them circumcised is because it was a requirement for Yosef and a responsibility for Yosef. Now let's go back and see if Zion, and see how that brings this whole story together, everything what Rashi brought from the Medrash. So the Rebbe explains and it goes as follows. Vihine. Kasher vayitzakom el paroi lelechem. When the people came to Paroi and asking him for bread. Shehu amelech. Ultimately, Paroi is the king. Yosef urak mishne lemelech. Yosef was only second to king. Yes, he was in charge, but after all, he's only second to king. So they came to Paroi. Paroi yom alohem, and Paroi tells them, lechu el Yosef. Asher yom alohem tasu. Hainu, what does Paroi tell them? Shehu paroi, eina misarev ze. I'm not getting involved. I'm not mixing in. Velo yetzave es Yosef she'itam le'emozloin. I am not telling Yosef to give you food, gamim lo imoilu, even if you don't go to circumcision. So if that's the words they hear from paroi, even though the paroi is ultimate in charge, even above Yosef, muvun she'oyo tzorich le'imatam v'nimug haze. It's understood that Paroi had to explain these people when they come to complain against Yosef, there should be an answer. Why, Taka? What's going on? Why aren't you giving them? Betam ze mefarish Rashi. And there Rashi comes and explains what happened over here with Paroi. This is the issue. What happened over here with Paroi? So Rashi says that Paroi tells them, Arei gozar ala tvu evir kivo, keloimar. If you come to me because for a natural reason somehow there's no bread, and that's why you come to me, somehow Paroi is not doing, I'm sorry, Yosef is not doing his job. So then it makes sense that when you come to complain to the higher authority, and Paroi would say, okay, I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to tell him to give you. But he doesn't do it, it's because אבל מכיוון שהטעם שאין להם לחם הוא בלתי טבעי מצד גזירס יוסף. Paroi says, Rabbi Isai, why is there no bread? There is a gzeira. Yosef is using supernatural ways how to bring the grain to rot. So if Yosef is not acting over here naturally, and the whole thing is built in TV, unnatural, then there is no purpose if I would tell him. I can tell him. The issue is not me to tell him. But you're not going to benefit from it anyway. Sharei gam kesh Yosef ito lo embor al pitzivu paroi, yigzor sheyurkav gam barzeh. Because Yosef can do the same thing, just like the original grain that you gathered, rotted. So now he's going to make another decree that that grain that he gave you because of my orders is also going to rot. Right? So then when are you going to get anything? And that's why Paroi uses dafke. The words, and Rashi has to tell us that Paroi is using over here the idea that Gozar ala tvu es veir kivo. He has to mention that it was a supernatural event directly coming from a gzera of Yosef HaTzadik who made this decree somehow, and the tvu all read it. And therefore he says, Paroi tells his people, I'm sorry. I can't do anything. I am taki higher than Yosef, but I can't stop from influencing the grain in an unnatural way. I can have him give it to you, but it's not going to help you. And he says in Orah 27, ועל פי זה מטורץ עושה מנהלון לרשי, שפרו יאמר להם למה לצוורתם בור, ומה דז רשי תקם? מה דז רשי תק that he actually told them, why didn't you gather? Where is it in the פסיק? אז זה רבי ססקי מסתבר. Makes sense, אשר כשאומר להם פרו, שאין ביכולת לצוו סיס יוסף, למרוי ששב יצעק עומל פרו ללחם, after פרו told him, I'm sorry, I cannot have anything I can tell יוסף, even though you're calling me, and I'm in charge, on Yosef, but I can't do it. Also, Zoyz, ba'ofen she'aman she'lo yiskabel etzlo. Yosef had to do it in a way that the, I'm sorry, Paro had to do it in a way that the people will accept what he tells them. It will make sense to them. So therefore, mistaba, she'mitchil al dvorov om aloem, lo molei tzavartem bor. He asked them, why didn't you gather? There was an announcement to gather grain. What are you coming now? When Paro told him those words, Beyodo, he knew Asher Yanu Kefio Emes Osafnu Arbe. He knew that they're going to answer, which is talking the truth. They gathered Vilkivo and it all rotted. Validei Zeyo Ichiach Le Midivreim Gufe. So therefore, Paro is going to take it to the next step and say, you see, you gathered and it rotted. So from here you see, Shemuchrochim Imlase is called Mashi Yosef Yoim Aloem. This is soft, tells you that you have to do it. Share Gozar Latwe Vilkivo. You gathered and you put it in storage, and still Yosef made a decree and somehow we dried it. So what's going to help you? He tried to get him into the conversation that they should agree that they have to follow Yosef because it was really a decree. It's nothing to do with him. And even if you're going to gather and I'm going to tell him to give it to you, not necessarily it's going to keep fresh. It could give the same decree could continue. And as he says in Ore 28, Ki mikivu she Yosef rotzo lachricham she yumoilu, since Yosef wanted to force him to go through the breeze, she lochein gozar ala tuwe v'idkivo, that's why he made this decree, are imuvu she gzero yisoy zu, tiye loy rak benegea la tuwe she osfu mikoidem, it's not only going to apply to the grain that he already gathered previously, ela bechol mozon she yeloem, whatever food they will have, and whatever they will gather, Yosef can still apply same gzere, the same decree. And that's what Paro is telling his people, are a gozar ala tuwe v'irkivo. You're clearly dealing with something which is out of my control. So you have to listen to Yosef. Continues the Rebbe, Avol, ein tamze maspiklal. But this is not enough a reason that Paro should not try to do something about it, or not try to get him some food. Because the people of Mitzrayim can still continue in complaining and demand and say as follows. Shari l'sho, temporarily, achet tirkav, until it's going to rot, bevadei toil. For surely it's going to help. We're going to have some food meantime. Begam achar koch, and even afterwards, after, it's going to give it to us, ulai lo yigzer v'chulu. Maybe he's not going to decree against this grain. Yes, we know that he made a decree now wanting to force us to have a breeze. Maybe he's not going to continue with making such decrees. So at least we're going to get some food. And let's say, step three, afilu igzor. Let's say he will make a decree, Yosef. Still lo yifsidu dover. So we didn't lose anything. We didn't gain, we didn't lose. So why aren't you, Paroi, trying at least to get us some food meantime? ולכן על כוכך צריך לומר שיש בזה בציוויו להכריח את יוסף חשש להזק והפסד לגבי מצבם באיש צעקוסם ללחם. Therefore it has to be here that Paroi was telling his people, חברה, if I'm going to force Yosef to give you food, the issue is not only the food. You might get something worse than what you have now, being hungry. And this is what? Miso b'meshech hazman mirov. I'm sorry. ולכן הכוח צריך לומר שיש בזה בציבו להכריח את יוסף חשש להזק והפסד לגבי מצבם בהסתכוסם ללחם, which is miso b'meshech hazman mirov. Sorry, we have to read it like this. So the fact that Paro is not doing it, so it has to be that by doing it, there is something worse than dying from hunger. Because as it stands now, they have nothing to lose. Either it's not going to rot, or it's not going to decree. Even if it's going to make a decree, they're still not losing anything. And worse comes to worse, they will die anyway from hunger. So what can be bad by asking Yosef for food now? So that's the word that Paro is adding. What's the worst that can happen? is that you're not going to die for longer. Elomiso takef. You're going to die immediately. That's what Paroi is telling them. Vezeu shemoisiv Rashi bedivrei Paroi. That's what Rashi adds into Paroi's words. The Paroi tells his people, she'ein lo yishlito al Yosef, I have no control on Yosef. Letzavis all of Dovo shu neged retzoinoi, to tell him to do something which is against his will. Ve'adarabin nafrichu. Mikibu shebekoyche shu Yosef ligzor. Since we see clearly that he has the power of making decrees, umayim nigzor benomus, what's going to happen if he's going to make the following decree? In other words, you people are coming, worse come to worse, it can't get worse than that. Either it's rotting, either we be dying from hunger. So Paroi tells them, I'm sorry, there's something worse than that. Dying from hunger can still take time. Maybe something else would happen along the way. If I'm telling Yosef what to do and forcing him, in knowing that Yosef's power is that he decreed against an entire country of grain to become rotten, so how you can make sure that he's not going to make a decree, okay, let them all die now, and this will be worse. And therefore, I can't help you. You must listen to him. They still have a taina. What is their taina? Adain mokim la'ashiv. You can still think differently. Kivu she'Yosef tzadiku. Yosef is a tzadik. How do we know he's a tzaddik? It's from the very fact, because his decrees are being materialized. So being that he's such a person, that his decrees are materialized, and he's a tzaddik, don't be concerned he's going to make a decree of death. Why would he do it? They're not forcing him to do something. That's why Paroi says, he's going to bring up a death upon us. Shehu amachriach. You didn't force Yosef, but I have the right to force him. I have the ability to force him. And if I'm going to force him, he's going to be forced. Veheim in you guys gormu lekach. So that force is going to bring about a new gzeirah mavus of death. And therefore, Paroi says, I am a part of it. I'm a part of it because I'm really the only one who forces Yosef to do something that he doesn't want to do. And that might provoke a new gzeira of Misa, which even though Yosef usually wouldn't do it, the right person is, but when you force him, he's going to have to do what he has to do. This idea, Paroi is warning his people, that Yosef might decree against you that merumezu gam beloshna kosuv asher yoim alochem tasu. Asher yoim alochem in the future loshnosi tasu mashma shekavanosoi. Paroi's idea was loyrak leinya shekvar omar lohem, which is a mile. I'm not now telling you, people of Egypt, it's not just about what Yosef did tell you already, which is the breeze, which he always told you, especially now, that for sure you have to keep. But now Paroi, once the conversation came to this point, that he realizes, and he makes them all realize, who we're dealing with, that Yosef is really the balabas, and he can bring to the situation which they might even lose their life with his gzeres, with his decrees. So therefore, Paroi is now telling the people of Mitzrayim, asher yoim alochem, shegamim yoim alem be'osi dovor shelo yom roi. If it is going to tell you something which he didn't tell you till now, which is like breeze, but it's going to come with new ideas, aleim la'asoisoi. And this is how it says in Ora 29, Rashi explains, kol asher yoima, that's why Rashi has the word koil. Kol means everything. Ein shekvar omroi in the past, ein dover chodosh, everything that what he tells you, you have to do, because you're dealing over here with a person who has those powers. But still ain't moving. Lomo chosh ashparoi she yoisi v'tzavoi som dovo noisaf al ma she tzivoi som mikvar she yemoil. Why Taker was Paroi concerned that he suddenly, Yosef is going to come with new requests, with new demands, in addition to Bris Mila? Lochein mefarish Rashi she beloshna she yoim alochem be'osi tasu merum ezatam. This hints to the reason she muchrochim lasois kemoi she'om alo in Yosef. Tasu Take bekoda shayoyim alachem tasu. In these words lies the whole reasoning why you have to listen now to the breeze and why I cannot tell him to give you grain if he doesn't want you unless you do a breeze. Because ashayim alachem tasu, because ki efshar shayoyba beosid gam ashayoyom aradato, because it is possible that he will tell you something he didn't tell you till now. So this is the parous of Yosef. Velochem gam benegale oinesh ma'im igzor beosid oleinu venomus. So too in regarding his punishment. In other words, Paroi looks on the people and he says Yosef is unpredictable. Yosef can do things which we did not perceive originally. Just like he did with the grain for them to rot, so he can cause us to die. And therefore, whatever Yosef tells you, you have to do, because we are dealing with a person which we don't know, and we can't predict what he's going to tell us to do, and what he can do to us. So obviously this explains all the diyukim that we had before in Rashi, and bringing the whole Aisiche together, understanding what was the relationship and the story of Yosef meet Paroi and the people of Mitzrayim. The Rebbe now continues, Ches, v'yesh v'kam v'pirush v'sher Rashi min yonei ayeno shel Torah. Mevura v'kam v'koymos, v'ho efreshe ben Yosef la'shvotim. Explains the Chassidus, there's a difference between a Yosef and the Shvotim. Yosef, li'yosef merkove de Atzilus, lo yoyu etzlo in yonei l'mazle metzius atifeses moke. Yosef was a merkove to the world of Atzilus. And therefore in Atzilus it says, lo yogur chora, there's only good, there's only holiness. So it translates also in this world that the worldly matters did not bother him. They did not disturb, they did not challenge him in his service to Hashem. Ashalochein, or Yoyochal Yoyes Melech Mitzrayim, he could have been the king of Egypt, which is mocking through Tachlis Ashvelus, the lowest place in the world. Ayirida Vatirda Sheboilo Mazze, be completely preoccupied in this world, as Yosef was, v'im kol ze hoyo betachlis ha'aliyah v'advekus belekus, in a complete attachment into godliness, because he belongs to the world of Atzilus, and the world is unconsidered, is not an issue when it comes to taking care of Eilam Hazeh. She'en ken ha'shvotim, the other shvotim, they were a merkava from Bria. In the world of Bria, there is some good and some mixed of not good. So therefore, the world of not good, of materialism as consideration, and therefore, they had to be detached from the world, and the chaim bochu liyo is roye tzoin b'chdei sheinyone elamazel lo yatridu oisom abaytas Hashem. They had to actually be shepherds to make sure that elamazel doesn't bother them and they're not disturbing them from abaytas Hashem. So this is the two types of service, the service of Yosef and the service of the Shvatim. V'pirush Rashi shelefoneinu loimdim od yeseiru mizeh. We learn even more. From here, which we explained, the way Yosef was influencing in working with Mitzrayim, so we see it over here. Sheloi ze bilvashi eli lamazel lo yitridu oisoi, did not disturb Yosef himself. Midvei kuslev abadasa lekoinai, from his service to Hashem. Elo shepoal v'ishpia gam beyoilom shechutzimenu. But he was actually influencing the world outside of him, which is Mitzrayim. Ve'lo yoid lo sheichriach. He even forced his Anshel Mitzrayim Shi'iyar Vasoret She'yomoylu Deshego Tura Bris U'le'achnia Bozes Prinosom, and by that bris they will subdue that concept which is Tufezimo, which is the idea of bris that the Rebbe brings from the Meir Nevuchim. It's all to remove that tivus for forbidden relationships which Egypt was. So Yosef was even forcing them to take care on that part. Ve'ad shegam paroi be'atzmo im melech Mitzrayim tzivo aleihem lishmoya el Yosef ve'lomu les'atzmom, and to circumcise themselves. Okay. ומזה בו ירוע לכל אחד ואחד. ומזה ירוע לכל אחד ואחד. ישראל נקראו בשם יוסף. The lesson is that since Israel Edna called Yosef, כמו שקוסף נוי כצוין יוסף. לכן בכוח של כל אחד ואחד לפעול בעצמוי. Every yid can to be poil by himself. באיזה מקום שיהיה. Whatever place it is, regardless of the conditions of the place, גם כשאנשי המוקם הם בירידה גדלה ברוכניאס, ורחוקים מאוד מיידוס וכולו, even with people which are spiritually very far. ולכן לא רק שאין לו להספול מחומריאס המוקם, not to be nispol from the level of materialism in that place, ועל איפול ברוכוי וכולו, and not to be low spirited about it, rather volubly is gabba be'atzmoy she'yeh sholim b'teiru mitzvahs. This is obviously regarding the person himself, that he should strengthen himself to be complete, just like Yosef was in Mitzrayim. But not only that, elo rather she'bekoicha gam lifo la'alodim shbechutzei menu. Ha'id is the strength and the koyach to impact the world outside of him, al kol ha'yehudim ha'nimtzoyim shom, ve'ad shal ide ha'noge bo'ifen ha'masim, and the Jews around you, and by conducting yourself properly, yiyeh gam oir lagoyim v'chulu, a light unto the nations, shegam bnei noyach yekaimu azayim mitzvah shalohem, that they should keep their zayim mitzvahs, v'ad sheyistakim v'yizbarer kol ha'ilom kulei, the whole world will be purified, and then nizkeh lebias mashiach tzidkenu, ulekiyum hayiyud, ki oz epoch el amim sofo bruro, the all nations will be transformed to a clear language, likroi kulam b'shem Hashem, ule'ovdoi b'shechem echad, to work him and to serve him with one shoulder. And this is how the Sikha concludes.